The Senate gets back to work today with the future of the U.S. Post Office high on the agenda. Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe says if Congress doesn't act, the agency will default on a $7 billion payment at the end of this month. The head of the Senate subcommittee, which oversees Postal Service, says the Post Office could literally close by winter. There are a number of emergency proposals, including the precedent-setting step of voiding pension agreements and union contracts. But there's little agreement among Republicans and Democrats on how to save the post office, which serves 150 billion addresses. Ed O'Keefe is Federal Eye columnist for The Washington Post. Ed, you say officials you're talking to say they won't let the post office close. But everyone knows Americans aren't using the mail the way they used to. They're using the Internet. So give us some of the stats.
Overall, total mail volume this year is expected to fall by 2% to only about 167 billion pieces of mail delivered across the entire system. That's a 22% drop in the last 4 years, really tied primarily to the recession and the fact that some of the Postal Service's biggest customers, insurance and banking and real estate and other services, really stopped sending out mail as the financial collapse began.
Well, and people aren't sending out thank you notes, invites, bills. People aren't just aren't using the mail. So the Postmaster General says the agency needs to find a new place for itself in the world. Now, his critics say he's a man who only has a hammer to fix things and everything he sees is a nail. But what is the Postmaster General proposing?
He's wanted for years to be able to close post offices across the country that don't earn the system a lot of money. The other big thing they want to do is save $3 billion by ending Saturday mail deliveries. A majority of the country supports this if it means the postage rates would stay about the same and the Postal Service could remain open. Problem is, you got to get Congress to pass a law that essentially allows them to go from six-day to five-day mail delivery. Beyond that, 80% of the Postal Service's expenses are tied to labor. It's been a labor-intensive process, and now with so many hundreds of thousands of workers retiring, they have to pay for their benefits. So they're trying to change the way in which all of this is paid for.
The post office wants to cut its workforce by 20%, withdraw from federal health and retirement plans. They believe they could provide plans at a lower cost, provide benefits at a lower cost. But they'd have to, in order to do this, they'd have to break labor agreements. So tell us more about that.
In order to get to the what they would like to do, which is about 425,000 workers, they'd have to lay off about 120,000 people. But their contracts with the largest postal unions have no layoff clauses. You essentially have to attrit your workforce to get to that number. That simply isn't affordable anymore, postal officials say, so they need Congress to allow them to go in and break those contracts. Obviously, the union's not happy about that. There is a growing sense here on Capitol Hill that postal unions may have to just swallow hard and deal with this.
Well, meanwhile, here's some of the battle lines as they're being drawn. California Republican Daryl Issa says he doesn't want a bailout of the post office's pensions. He's, of course, part of the Ross Issa Postal Reform Act, and he's proposing a number of things, including a commission that would decide on closing post office locations, raising revenue by selling advertising space on mail trucks and in post offices. How else is this, you know, falling out?
One of the biggest issues, and one that that ISA is opposed to, is the idea of moving billions of dollars that the Postal Service paid into an old federal worker pension fund and essentially using that money that the unions and the Postal Service argues they overpaid the fund over time and moving that into a new system that would pay for these future retirees. But guys like ISA say no. That would be moving taxpayer money to the benefit of the Postal Service. Therefore, it's what they consider a taxpayer bailout.
Even though this is a fund that was paid into by the workers?
Yes, because they argue that once it's not paid into that workers, it's a government fund, and therefore you're moving money that is essentially the taxpayer's money into a new fund. And it wasn't entirely paid for by the postal workers. It was paid for with postal revenues.
Well, you have that debate, and I can hear other workers saying, well, wait a second, come to think of it, most people pay into their pension funds with some addition from somewhere else, usually a corporation. But staying with the government, what's the concern about how precedent-setting this would be if the Postal Service succeeds in getting Congress to okay its decision to break its contract with its workers?
Sure. I mean, obviously there are those here who believe that they should be able to do that if that's what they believe would save them the most money. The idea of pulling out of the federal worker health and retirement benefit funds is something actually that already administration officials and lawmakers are warning could frankly bankrupt those funds for everyone else and then cause an even bigger problem for taxpayers, because the Postal Service, since it employs hundreds of thousands of people, is one of the biggest donors to these funds to begin with. So if you take out the biggest donor, there may not be enough money left for everyone else. The reason they want to spin out of it and create their own is they feel that they just generally feel that they should be able to do it on their own because they are such a unique sort of quasi-government agency, and that they would be able to better control the costs. Frankly, nobody's really studied this issue. This was a proposal that was just put out about a month ago. And the way Washington works, certainly, is you know that this will be studied by about 9 different people who will come up with 11 different opinions and no easy answer.
Ed O'Keefe, federal eye columnist for The Washington Post, thanks so much.
Great to be with you.